Hi, everyone. Larry Bailey here with Ridge Lending Group. Going through the newsletter that was issued today, June 21st, we're going to review the week of June 13th. So during this week of June 13th, we had a Fed rate hike, we had hot wholesale inflation, we had weakening builder confidence and signs of economic slowdown, which led to a volatile week in the markets, of course. Here are the top headlines that we're going to go through. One is Fed rate hike, largest since 1994. Second one, wholesale inflation declines slightly, but remains elevated. Number three, builder confidence weakens as home buyer traffic slows. That's really good for investors because we always like it when home buyer traffic slows. Gives us more opportunities. Despite slowing housing starts, glimmer of hope for home completions, what to look for in jobless claims data, and last but not least, more signs of economic slowdown. So the Fed rate hike, largest since 1994, we all saw this coming, but it's still interesting to see when it happens. So the Fed was expected to hike its benchmark Fed funds rate by 50 basis points, or 0.5%, at its meeting last week, but instead acted more aggressively with a 75 basis point hike due to, in large part, to the hotter than expected Consumer Price Index, also known as CPI, reading that was reported on June 10th. Note that the Fed funds rate is the interest rate for overnight borrowing for banks between the bank and the Federal Reserve, and it's not the same as mortgage rates. Now, this is the main tool the Feds use typically to curb inflation, which has been on the rise and hiking its benchmark Fed funds rate. So the counterintuitively Fed rate hikes can be good for mortgage rates if they're perceived to curb inflation. Remember that interest rates rise because it's a long-term investment that the lender is making in the note, in the amount of money that you borrow. And so if you borrow money today that's due to be repaid in full at some point long-term in the future, inflation has a big part of the value of that. So if inflation is running high, mortgage rates need to get ahead of that, and it could act in an aggressive way, which is exactly what we saw. So weirdly enough, if the Federal Reserve goes to try to curb inflation, it could actually improve mortgage rates. Go figure. The Fed also noted that depending on the data, they will hike another 50 or 75 basis points at their meeting on July 26, 27. And to those that are not indoctrinated, a basis point is 0.01%. So basically, a penny of a penny. So that's when you hear basis points, that's what it's talking about. So 100 basis points equals 1%. There you go. There's the math. Who said math wasn't useful, right? So what's the bottom line? Central bankers around the world are scrambling to put the inflation genie back in the bottle, as we have seen hikes by all the banks such as Bank of England, Taiwan, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, Brazil, and a surprise 50 basis point hike at the Swiss bank, which led to market volatility last Thursday. That was the big move, the Swiss. So it will be important to see if investors and the markets believe the Fed and other central banks around the world can get a handle on inflation. Remember, this is not an American thing, this is a world thing. And as this plays out, it will play a crucial role in the direction of mortgage bonds and mortgage interest rates later this year. Wholesale inflation declines slightly, but still remains elevated. The Producer Price Index, also known as PPI, which measures inflation at the wholesale level, was in line with estimates with a 0.8% rise in May. On a year-over-year basis, the PPI declined slightly from 10.9 to 10.8%. The core PPI, which strips out food and energy prices, which we've all seen jump up remarkably, came in just below estimates with a 0.5% increase. The year-over-year figure declined from 8.6 to 8.3%. So what's the bottom line? While the markets reacted favorably to the slight decline in wholesale inflation, producer inflation remains elevated. This can lead to hotter consumer inflation levels as producers, of course, pass those higher costs as much as they can along to consumers. In addition, 28% of small business owners reported that inflation was their single most important problem in operating their businesses in May, per the National Federation of Independent business, Small Business Optimism Index, which is a survey that gets sent out, and they say basically, hey, how do you feel? And this is what the owners of the small businesses report. Owners expecting better business conditions over the next 6 months also fell 4 points to a net negative 54%, which is the lowest recorded level in the survey's 48-year history. I can tell you anecdotally, I went out to a restaurant recently, and they literally had a sticker on the menu that said, all prices will be charged $2 higher for everything on the menu. We're very sorry. Inflation sucks. Word for word. So we still got the food, though. It was very good food. And we paid accordingly because we wanted the food. Builder confidence weakens as home buyer traffic slows. So there's a nice image up here. If you're not seeing the video, please join the Ridge Lending Group community. You can see all the video and you can see everything playing along here. So the housing market index shows the rate. So let me read this here. The National Association of Home Builders Housing Market Index, which is a near real-time read on builder confidence, fell 2 points to 67 in June as expected. Looking at the components of the index, current sales conditions fell 1 point to 77, future sales expectations were down 2 points to 61, and buyer traffic declined 5 points to 48. Now, it's important here on the graphic because there are regions in the country. The national fell, but the regional is really what's hot here because you had the Midwest only falling down to 54, the West 65, the South 75, and the Northeast 62. So the biggest, the lowest numbers really are the Midwest. So the bottom line is any reading above 50 on this index, which runs from 0 to 100, signals expansion, while reading below 50 signals contraction. So overall, while these figures have declined significantly from last year, they're still pretty strong levels. A big concern is that traffic has dipped beneath 50, which signals a contraction. NAHB's chief economist, Robert Deitz, noted that residential construction material costs are up 19% year over year, with cost increases for a variety of building inputs, except lumber. He also said that they are seeing less demand due to the increase in mortgage rates, which is reflected in the decline of buyer traffic, as noted above. So there is some images here on housing starts, which measures the start of construction on homes. It plunged, if you want to be dramatic, 14.4% from April to May. It is pretty stark and dramatic. Starts for single-family homes, which are the most important because they are in such high demand among buyers, are also down 9.2%. Building permits, which are a good forward-looking indicator for housing starts, were down 7%, while single-family permits also fell by a large amount, dropping 5.5%. So we're seeing a decline in starts. We're seeing a decline in permits. We're seeing completion. The number that's up there, and really we're still dealing with a country that has an underserved population of housing needs. We're still underhoused. And so this is concerning for a lot of folks who were trying to build a house and they couldn't lock into an interest rate. We saw this happen and they ended up having a lot of trouble qualifying for the home now because interest rates have gone up so much and the house still isn't finished. So we're going to move on to what to look in jobless claims data. So the number of people filing for unemployment benefits for the first time fell by 3,000 in the latest week, as 229,000 initial jobless claims were reported. Continuing claims, which measure people who continue to receive benefits after their initial claim is filed, increased 3,000 to 1.312 million, still remaining near a 50-year low. So what's the bottom line? While initial jobless claims decreased in the latest week, the four-week average is at the highest level since late January. And this could be an early sign that companies are starting to not only pause hiring, but are also beginning to lay people off due to slowdowns. I know we see a lot of this in the finance industry right now, a lot of layoffs. We have heard announcements of significant layoffs from several public companies, which will start to show up in these numbers. So this is something important to monitor in the weeks ahead. More signs of economic slowdown. Recent reports offer more signals that the economy is slowing. In the manufacturing sector, there were negative readings, which signals contraction, reported for the New York and Philadelphia regions via the June's Empire State and Philadelphia Fed indexes. The retail sales also fell 0.3% in May, while April's data was also revised lower. This comes as food and gas prices are higher, which are hurting consumers' budgets for discretionary spending. In addition, the nation's personal savings rate, which soared during the early months of the pandemic, has now fallen back to below its pre-pandemic levels. The savings rates were 7.8% in January 2022, rose astonishingly to 33.8% in April 2020, but it's now dropped back to 4.4% in April 2022. So 7.8% in January 20 to 33% 4 months later. Now we're back to almost half of what it was in April 22 compared to January 2020. So the 4.4% rate is the lowest recorded in the United States since September 2008. And that's another recessionary indicator. Family hack of the week. If camping is part of your summer plans, these French toast foil packets, courtesy of the Food Network, are a perfect way to start the day. Prepare a grill for medium-high heat. Melt 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter, also called sweet butter. Tear 8 14-inch pieces of nonstick foil and lay them nonstick side up. Brush the centers with melted butter. Whisk together a 12-ounce can of non-fat evaporated milk, 2 large eggs, 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, always good, and 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract in a small baking dish or resealable bag. Dip 8 slices of multigrain bread, if that's your choice, in the milk mixture until fully submerged. Arrange 2 pieces of bread next to each other. Do not overlap them. On a piece of buttered foil, repeat with the remaining bread and 3 pieces of the foil. To make the foil packs, place the remaining 4 pieces of foil buttered side down so that the butter touches the bread and the edges line up. Fold and crimp the edges tightly. Place the packs on the grill. Close the lid and cook for 5 minutes. Turn the packs over. Close the lid again and grill for another 5 minutes. Carefully remove the packs from the grill because they'll be hot and let cool for a few minutes. Carefully open the packets because they're hot and top each serving with some mixed berries, maple syrup, and enjoy. I'll have to try that. That sounds really, really good. What to look for this week coming up, the week of June 21st, after the market was closed yesterday in honor of Juneteenth holiday. Key housing reports will highlight the economic calendar. Tuesday, that's today, brings an update on the existing home sales for May, while new home sales follow on Friday, later this week. The jobless claims data also remains crucial to monitor when it's released, as usual, on Thursday. Technical picture is, be wary of the mortgage market. It is going up. It is going down. Who the heck knows what's going to happen? Make sure you work with Ridge Lending Group to get your best loan product and get closed as quickly as possible, including getting pre-approved. Feel free to give Ridge Lending Group a phone call at 855-74-RIDGE. You can email them at info@ridgelendinggroup.com. You can go to ridgelendinggroup.com's website. You can stop in and say hi. And we always thank Ridge Lending Group for supporting this weekly market newsletter review. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.